It's amazing that a lot of people showed up because actually the C standard library normally has made a point of assuming that things which are in the name are wrong, right? If you ever had to use something like pointer fun or member fun, right? Fun is in the word. It's not fun, right? It's fun stopped over there. And in general, that is actually true. Like, if it is in the name, it's not true. Like Great Britain or United Kingdom, right? So... Okay. Computer science, good one, yes. So everything I say, I hope is right, but assume I'm lying. So you would need to verify it. This is roughly saying the legal stuff. What I'm going to talk about is that basically const expressions. It's not new. It exists in C++ since ever. Some changes were made in C++ 11. It got better in C++ 14. I will talk quite a bit about the C++ 11 stuff. I had proposed that presentation actually to the ACCU and prepared it. And while preparing, I found that it had become massively better in C++ 14, and I was actually unaware. I will talk about the C++ 11 stuff a little bit because there are actually a number of interesting techniques in there unrelated a little bit to constexpr, but also with constexpr. And basically what I want to do is an interesting application which is not necessarily immediately obvious that you can do it, and that is I want to create a compile time map which is nicely sorted, and I want to do that at compile time. And I talk about towards the end a little bit of what the future of constexpr is going forward. If you have any questions, any comments, please shout it out. It's probably easier to ask while close to the slide rather than later. So yeah. Okay. So constant expressions. It's basically constant expressions, like I said, is in the language since ever. These are values produced at compile time. The reason they're used is basically, well, if the compiler can see what the values are, let's recompute them and just work it out. And so you don't need to necessarily do the math yourself for things where they're needed. It does work nicely with things like integers in C++ 11 and later, also with floating points and string literals always used to be constant expressions. Some of the things which have always been constant expressions is some meta information like size of. In C++ 11, there's a lot of more things which are falling in that category. And then basically everything when you use constants popping out of that is a constant expression. And since C++ 11, const expressions, or you can make functions const expressions. And I will a little bit motivate why that is important, because there are actually multiple reasons. The first many people think about is, all right, cool, if I have something which is constant, which I can compute at compile time, I can save runtime, right? I can basically pre-compute things. The compiler can even detect that certain conditions will always be false if it can compute things at compile time. And we actually saw in yesterday's keynote that the compiler does that and basically gets rid of lots of things. When I say it's similar to moving things out of a loop rather than hoisting things out of a loop, it's actually hoisting it into compile time rather than runtime. As a result, const expressions, and that is something which is somewhat important to realize, as a result, since it moves to compile time and we have multiple translation unit, actually it's not computed just once, it's computed in every translation unit where you compute this constant expression. And you can go mad and can do various things in constant expression and may take time. I will have a little bit of a motivation of some of the timing later. Okay, so this is one reason. Another reason is actually the number of things where the language requires constant expressions. And for example, like creating a built-in array, you can say, all right, the dimensions is built as a size, a case label, or the number of bits in a bit field. All of these needs constant expressions. There always could be computations, and with C++ 11, you can actually call functions to get these computations done. And then there's another interesting aspect of constant expressions, and there's one which I really appreciate, and that is constant expressions are actually, well, computed at compile time. As a result, if you have an object which is a constant expression, it is produced at compile time before runtime. As a result, there's no interaction with any runtime thingy. There's no question about in which order are these things created. They are there. when the program starts running, anything which is constant expression, any global object which is a constant expression, is there. There's also no threading interaction. If you have the need for something which is global, making it a constant expression is actually, I think, a very reasonable thing. Anything else which is not a constant expression is a variable. It's a global variable. Variables tend to be bad for various reasons. Okay, so, and this is actually one of the things which I will show how that nicely works. As it turns out, prior to C++11, there was an important abstraction missing. You could only use constant expressions the compiler knew about sort of thing. So you had basic or all the integer mass in there. You had, I think, some floating point mass, although it wouldn't really use much of that. But the abstraction which was missing is you could not call functions. And that actually changed. So you could do computations with enums, and a lot of tricks used template code to do that and kind of created something like functions, but it's really annoying. So here's an example of where I always wanted to have a constant expression, and that is I want to create a bitmap. Now, a bitmap, we can create them, right? So we can basically create them like that and basically say, yes, there's a bitmap with some values, and we can OR these values. And I want to use these values both to initialize a variable as well as in a switch statement. This code does work. The caveat over here in that code is the result of the OR operation is actually not of type BM, but is actually of type integer. I don't want that. I would like to make it an integer. I want to make it a BM. I want to make it statically typed. And all of a sudden, that doesn't compile. It basically says, well, there's a bad conversion over here from integer to a bitmap type. Right. The way to fix it, obviously, is, well, we couldn't construct that thing. But this is a little bit annoying. The compiler already knows information. We want to use that. We could go and say, well, what is that one version? Oh, actually, that works. If I go a little step further and say enum classes in C++11 were introduced, even that stops working because actually there's no implicit conversion from a bitmap type to an integer. And obviously, enums being littering my namespace, I don't like. So I actually want that to work as well. So what I could do, obviously, is I could always, in C++, as even pre-11, I could create an operator to do that. That's fine. It does work. It does work in the sense of, right, I can at runtime compute one of these bitmap values. It has the right type, but it doesn't work with my switch statement anymore. So to basically make that work, I do need to have a const expression in there, and now it all works. It's nicely encapsulated, it has the right type, and I actually, the world is fine. This is one of the fundamental reasons why const expressions, I think, are actually necessary from a semantic level. Okay, so, of course, when I have const expression functions, there's probably some constraints. And the obvious constraints is, as roughly speaking, if you look at all the constraints in there, anything which depends on runtime probably isn't going to work. So roughly speaking, well, you cannot make a virtual function const expert. And the argument types have to be not runtime entities, sort of, if you hope to get an result out. So basically, all the argument types have to be either built-in types or literal types, where literal type is a type which has a constructor and or is a POD. And in C++11, the thing which they did is to say, right, let's not go out of the window, make the const expression functions reasonably simple. So basically, let's say a const expression function is anything which obeys a number of rules on the expressions and has exactly one statement, and that statement shall be a return statement. It's a little bit constraining, and saying, oh, well, how about a loop? Well, you can simulate a loop using recursion, right? These are just the same. As it turns out, everybody was happy with C++11 const expert to say in the sense of, yes, that is implementable. So let's tune it up a notch and basically say, instead of just having one return statement, C++14 made them a lot more flexible. You can basically have nearly arbitrary functions being const expert functions to compute things at compile time with just a number of constraints which are kind of reasonable, like you cannot have assembler in there, or you cannot have go-tos. I think you could in theory even have go-tos, but then the analysis becomes reasonably hard. So no go-tos. If you don't need go-tos, there's also no labels. You can, although I think actually switch labels are okay. So it's just not arbitrary labels. Try-catch blocks, you cannot have a try-catch block in there because that's kind of meaningless. And all the variables you use actually have to be literal types. What else? Sorry, the variables have to be literal types. They have to be non-static. You cannot have static variable inside these guys. They cannot be thread local, and they have to be initialized. If you have a variable inside a const expression function, you cannot leave it uninitialized. It has to be initialized. And then there's a number of other constraints. But first, what is a literal type? All the built-in types are literal types, including void. So you can avoid things, scalar types, references, arrays of literal types. So you can compose these guys, classes, as long as the class is entirely built up of literal types itself, whether it's a base class or a member. The members shall also not be volatile. Kind of, yeah, something which changes every time is probably not a good, or may change every time is not a good constant expression. So literal type is reasonably what you would expect. One thing for these guys, because const expert objects are actually kind of never destroyed, they pop into life and then kind of stay around. The vision is that basically the destructor shall always be trivial. So it's basically, there's nothing interesting happening in destruction, there's no side effects. So if you have something like that, whether you make the destructor trivial by basically leaving it out or saying equals default, that's fine. If you put a curly open, curly close, even if nothing in there, that is not a trivial destructor. That is looks trivial, but the compiler says, no, that's not trivial. So literal types, easy enough. The expressions, interestingly enough, there are a number of constraints on what you can do, what expressions you can execute. So I could read out all the aspects, but it actually doesn't make much sense. You can just think of it, well, everything which may have makes only sense at runtime is disallowed. The interesting thing is when I say it is disallowed is a constant function can use all of that stuff. For example, it can happily throw an exception. What it cannot do, however, is if you want to get a const expression out of that, it cannot throw that expression exception in that based on the parameters. I think that's an example a little bit later. So you basically cannot, as long as you don't execute the bad stuff, it can be in there. But you, for getting a const expression out of a const expression function, you cannot use it. But you can use it with runtime parameters, where it's fine. And I will have an example of that. Names in general are constant expressions. Can be constant expressions as long as basically they obey constraints. The constraints are essentially a name which emerged since the evaluation of the constant expression started. So basically, if you have a function and you give parameters to it, the parameter values are okay, and anything else which kind of popped into life since the constant expression evaluation started, they're okay. This is okay to some extent. This is okay. There will be a few examples of that. If you're actually in a constant expression function, itself. So in general, everything, you can use all the names you would expect, you can use which are constant, but nothing which is runtime or non-constant in any shape or form. So here's a name example, why it does matter when these things emerged. You cannot do something like that. That is, I have an initializer list called init, and that initialization itself, this is a variable, and this is not a constant expression itself. So I cannot use init.size. I can use init.size on const expression function, but I cannot assign it to something which is labeled const expression itself. What I can do is I can remove the const expression. And oddly enough, even though over here I basically get something in which looks a little bit runtime-ish, and I cannot assign it to const expression inside the function, I can get the value out and return it. And the return value is a const expression. So the code as is actually does compile, although this code, when I put a const expression over here, says, well, this you cannot do. The upshot of that is you cannot actually use the runtime value of any of your parameters to produce a different type. This is somewhat of a constraint, but it's kind of a reasonable constraint, I think, because if you look at it, if you have a function taking an initializer list, if the result would depend on the runtime parameter value of the argument, well, that might work if it is a constant expression, but it would obviously not work if it is actually specified at runtime. And that is actually something important. All of these functions which are const expressions do produce constant expression if you pass in all constant expressions, but they're just normal functions otherwise. So you actually can pass different initializer list sizes into that thing, and it produces the corresponding size. If you pass an initializer list whose size is known to the compiler to be a constant expression in, it will produce a constant expression itself. And the upshot of, yes. Okay, so the question is, can I mark the parameter as const expert, similar to marking a parameter as const? And the answer to that is no. Basically, the constness of a value parameter is already not part of the function type. So it is basically an implementation detail. And the init parameter is kind of a runtime thing, which you cannot make const expert, even if you try to declare it. So you cannot declare it const expert and it doesn't make any difference. There's another reason in there, and that is the standard committee contemplated the idea of having things overloadable to be const expert or non-const expert. And there were some people who were really dead set to say that shall not be made possible. We shall always have const expert and non-const expert functions. They shall conflate. So there's no overloading on const expertness. Okay, so getting back to the implications, basically argument values cannot itself inside a const expression function used as const expert, although the function can produce a const expert. And for example, things like the argument value cannot affect the type, which makes sense. You can pass other values at runtime and you can produce different types all the time. Which basically means if you actually want to produce a different result from a const expert function, it has to be based on the argument types or the number of arguments, which is a little bit sad, but yeah, you can kind of work around off that. Okay, so, this is weird, actually missing the, I'm sure there was a slide where I mentioned the exception thingy. So, okay, maybe it's later. Okay, so and the objective I have, run over a couple of things how to deal with const expert. I basically set an objective. And basically, this came out of a discussion we had internal at Bloomberg to basically say, wait, how can I create something which maps something, let's say a string to an enum value, without actually having a global variable? Like, global variables are bad, they get initialized at funny times, and basically I thought, well, maybe we could, instead of having a variable, actually make it a const expression. So this is the starting point of that section, and I think it is actually an interesting exercise to see how that works out. So the goal is basically have some mapping from a string to a maybe factory function or an enum value or vice versa, it doesn't really matter much, and produce it at compile time. So we could start very easy. We could go and say, well, let's just use an array, right? We create a const expert array with a pair and a string and we initialize these guys. If you try that, the compiler will quickly go and say, no, string actually is not a literal type. Okay, well, that's a little bit of a bummer. I want to really map strings to something else. How do I deal with that? There's a simple way out. C++ 14, no, sorry, C++ 17 will have a class template called StringView, which basically gives you constant access to a sequence of characters. And it basically is a literal type, so it has all the relevant constructors and things. It is, for the purpose of what I actually need, not magical. So let's have a quick look of what it actually is. String view, this is basically the view of what std string view is going to be, is something you can construct from an array of characters. Where the array of characters comes from, whether it's coming from a string or from a string literal, where the compiler knows, or the class knows, all right, if I get just one pointer, I find the null terminator, or if it comes from two pointers, it doesn't really care. It basically gives you access to that sequence of characters. And most importantly, it is defined deliberately as a literal type. So basically, all the necessary const expert declarations are present. How to implement that, how that could look like. Here's an example. String view is basically just a class, has a member, as you would expect. And most importantly, it has a const expert constructor. Otherwise, it would not be a literal type. And the constructor defined over here is basically taking a char const pointer, initializes the begin member or the B member with that pointer, and the end with the end. And I may have forgotten to put a const in front of the star in front of the E. but basically, except for slight typos, that does work. The thing which doesn't necessarily quite work, especially if you tried it and you think, oh, right, we have a find algorithm, and std find may do it, aside from here using something called unreachable, so it's not really a standard find. The standard library function, standard library algorithms are unfortunately not const expert, and they're unfortunately also not going to be const expert in C++ 17. There's quite a bit of work left over, so we haven't quite cleaned up that thing. However, find can entirely be implemented as a standard library function. So basically, here's a quick run through how that could look like. We could basically implement something like find in terms of a begin and end iterator. And again, as okay, now the eyes there. And basically, all it does is a while loop. So this is obviously using C++ 14, basically running using a loop inside. It doesn't do anything particularly magical, just this is how find would look like. and then the, what is in, oh, okay. Except that I actually use a different type for begin and end. I basically use that unreachable thing, which is just not comparing, always comparing faults. So we run as long as we need to until we have find a zero pointer, character with zero. If you say, well, this is kind of nice, but I cannot use C++ 14, the C++ 11 definition looks roughly the same. It just omits the loop and basically replaces the loop by a recursive call. Not particularly interesting. And then there's another thing for string view. I think there will be user-defined literal, but actually to make it nice and the examples later to produce easily string views out of string literals, here's a simple user-defined literal, which basically is one of the string versions. It just produces a const-expert function itself, and attaching underscore sv to a string literal basically gives you back a string view. Nothing magical over here as well. Okay, so now with string view, the next thing is, of course, a pair. If you're using C++ 14, you go lucky. std pair has all has become all const expert clean, as in all the constructors are declared const expert. If you use C++ 11, well, sorry, you need to basically create your own pair and make pair to do something like that, but a reasonably simple one does work. Okay, so with that in place, we can look at how can we access these things, and that is reasonably straightforward as well. We use another algorithm, findIf. Again, findIf is basically just find. We give this access functions actually an array or reference to an array. The reason to use a reference to an array is we can easily figure out the begin and the end. So we don't have to do any fancy things. There's a match first thingy over used over here. This is one of the utilities which may want to go into the standard library, but then people probably go, oh yeah, I can do that with a Lambda easier. Here's my implementation, which is not a Lambda. It's basically just saying, all right, I construct an object with a value, and when matching these things, I match it against the first element of an array. And then I can just match it and actually match first. Well, there's a matcher first, which is a little class again. And match first is actually a function which creates one of those. So just to have things complete over here, find if, as mentioned, this is just like find, begin and end. Also need to be const expert to make it work. And I think there was C++ 14. Yes? Ah. Yes, this is actually a good point. Vittorio's question is, a Lambda would work in with C++ 17. In fact, with C++ 11 or 14, a Lambda does not work over here because we actually want to produce, or the access function is declared const expert, and Lambda functions in prior to C++ 11 are not const expert objects itself. So you cannot use them to produce const experts. Good point. With C++ 17, that got fixed. In C++ 11, the function call operator on the Lambda, I think, is a const expression itself, but the Lambda itself is not. And to pass that one on, we would need to make the Lambda itself be a const expression. Okay, so begin and end, I think they made const expert in C++ 14. But this is also a fairly straightforward how to create them if you need to. And then, we can go. Oh, here's the throw example. So one of the things which is done on that code, if you look at the bottom, it basically says, all right, if I haven't found anything, I throw not found. I am in a const expert functions, and I use a throw expression. That's perfectly fine. The code is OK. But the outcome may be a little bit surprising depending on what you expect. And here, the three different outcomes. The first one, when I look for three, if you look right on the top, the map is basically containing just the value three. If I access that guy, it finds it. We get the value three out. That's good. If we try to access four, in the second example, this code does compile. But it will throw an error at runtime, which is kind of what we would expect. If you have basically passing runtime parameters and it needs to do something, it will throw. Over here, we pass in a compile time parameter, but the compiler sees, oh, the result I don't need to convert into const expert, so the function call is possibly right the way it is. I don't have to produce an error. On the other hand, if I go to the last version, where I say I want to actually try to get the map 5 to the value 5, and I want that to be a const expression, this will produce an error. The compiler basically goes, whoa, you try to use throw in a const expression, and you are not allowed to do that. So you can basically get, well, if the value is OK, you just get the value out. If the value is not OK and you don't pull out a const expression, it will be a runtime error, as it would be for all the other values, or you get a compile time error, which is kind of cool. You can control, as a result, quite carefully what comes out. Okay, so basically the validity of const expression functions, they can use all the expressions, but unless none of the prohibited ones is used, it's not a const expert function, and it basically produces a runtime error. This is basically another example of that. If I have my function fun over here, which again throws or not throws depending on whether the value is false or true, it throws or compiles, and if I pass in true, it always compiles, and I get a const expression out. All right, so getting back to trying to use my array. In fact, the code as I've shown does work for compile time lookup, which is kind of cool. So we managed to build an array, map strings to values, and we can actually use the value coming out of that as a case label, for example. This is what that shows. We can use the result anywhere we need or want to. Whether that particular example is particularly useful is a different question. But overall, I think there's is use in having maps like that and actually having them produce const expressions. Now, I think that's kind of cute, but actually, if the array is reasonably big, a linear lookup is a little bit annoying, and maybe I want to do better, and maybe I want to sort that guy and then remove duplicates, for example. So I will spend some time to basically show how we can actually sort these guys, actually using C++ 11 first, or mostly C++ 11, all the places where I use C++ 14 features. I will actually, I will gloss a little bit over that, but you can actually see how that would work. So the first thing to do is, well, if you actually try to create a map, we cannot use and do something with it. We cannot, unfortunately, cannot use a nice syntax where we basically use aggregate initialization. And that's basically, well, I cannot use an initializer list to basically pass that in, because the initializer list, I need to know its size, and its size is not a const expression inside, and actually the result of the construction is a different type. That's a little bit annoying, and I don't want to basically specify the size either or any of that, so I need to do something different. One way to do that is to, instead of actually building the type and mentioning the type, is to basically create a factory function. So we could use something like makeMap and just pass in a sequence of pairs. Passing in a sequence of pairs is, you figure out the size easily, the green stuff, size dot 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 is the number of pairs, and then I need the type of the first and the second parameter. Of course, as written, it doesn't work because P is not expanded when I figure out the type over there. So which type do I use? I could try something like that. And this is actually a general thing when you overload on something like a sequence of pairs. This is also not quite working, right? We can try the common type of all the pairs and figure out the first type of that, except if we have in the pairs things which vary both in the first and the second argument. For example, let's say the first argument is a long and an int for some of the pairs, and for the second part, it's sometimes a string and a char pointer, then the compiler goes, I don't know what you mean over here, that does not work. So we can invert that. We use common type of the first and the second. That's kind of easy-ish. Once we do that, we have resolved that problem, but we could actually go make that nicer and basically go, well, instead of using some first T and second T, we actually just pull that out and pass these in as parameters, and the sequences are nicely expanded. Okay, cool. So we basically have a way to construct a map, hopefully. What we don't have is, how do we implement that to get sorted? So sorting things, well, reasonably easy. We can just go and do merge sort. So I will not use a pair because that makes it a little bit less obvious, but you can entirely, everything I do does work with a pair. I did try that over here. I'm just using an array of integers and sort that at compile time using C++ 11 techniques mostly. And the idea over here as well for merge sort, I basically just call merge sort on the array, and the array basically just calls merge sort on the first half, merge sort on the second half, and then merges these things together. That's what merge sort is. So the first step is, how do I get hold of the first half? And actually, there's also the termination issue over here. We need to eventually stop recursively calling that, so we need an overload. If we had C++ 17, we could use const_expr_if, which is kind of neat, which basically takes in a constant expression to decide which way it should go. So if that if is the const expression is true, the first block has to compile and work, and if it's false, the second block has to compile and work. But the respective other is, except from having to be syntactically correct, you cannot just write arbitrary gibberish in there. It needs to kind of, all the parentheses need to match up and that stuff, but otherwise it is not semantically checked in any shape or form. C++ 17, unfortunately, is from the future, so we cannot quite use that, I guess. And the way to do that in C++ 11 or C++ 14 is you just use partial overloading to sort that out together with a little bit of finite tricks. This is what we would like to write. Unfortunately, both of these functions, the first and the second, although only one will ever be present are both primary templates with the same number of template parameters. So basically the compiler goes, oh, well, hang on, you cannot partially specialize a function template. The way around is reasonably easy. We slip that type name void in and yeah, whatever. And this is just for finishing the recursion. And then we're basically back to how do we create the sort of the first half and second half. And there's a little bit, there's a kind of a nice technique to do that. And the basic idea is, well, let's select the indices of the first half. So we just figure out the indices, we give the array, and we sort of find out the corresponding indices. And then correspondingly for the second half. Finding the correct indices, well, that's a simple trick. Okay, this is first a select thingy, where basically the idea is let's basically create a get a parameter which is a sequence of integers. And all we do is we expand that sequence of integers inside an array and basically get all the values chosen as basically a list of values. That's straightforward. The only question is how to create the indices, and this is what index sequence is for. Index sequence is a C++ 14 standard library feature. It can entirely be implemented with C++ 11. It's actually not a lot of code, but I don't think I have that on the slides. But it's easily found. It's whatever, 30 lines of funny looking code. And once I have that, I can, well, package that up, make index sequence so that I can just easily create a sequence giving a start in the integer and a size, produce that these integers. And well, kind of this is the make sequence is a function which produces the corresponding index sequence. And I use another C++ 14 feature over here, and that is auto deduction of return types. Again, something, if you need to use C++ 11, you can entirely spell that out. It's just annoying and it doesn't fit on the slide. So I left that out. So you get a sequence out. Once we have the sequence out, we can just pass it in. We go and say the first half is a zero to the first half of the elements, to second half of the elements, and we basically get all the sequence in the array. That's also nice. So we can merge sort these guys. What remains is merge, and merge doesn't do anything magic either. All it really does is it basically goes and recursively looks at the first element, second element, which one, when, if the first one is smaller, we pick that. Otherwise, we unconditionally pick the second element, because it's certainly not, the first one is certainly not larger, so it's the right one. And all we need is basically something which takes one element and a sequence and merges these things together. So that's basically over here, takes the cons. I'm not sure that I have cons implemented and tail, but they do just, tail just takes all these elements except the first one, and cons basically just takes an element and a sequence of elements and puts them together as an array. So that gives us merge. Again, a little bit of specialization to deal with zero-sized elements, put them all together, all very straightforward. So, and then, yeah, okay, here's tail. For tail, we just get all but the first element. Okay, so what is missing? Oh, okay, here's cons to basically say, right, this is a way to, where is the slide? This is a way to basically get the first element out. Again, nothing magical. And then putting it all together. And that is basically all what that code did. And all of that code, the slides will be available. It kind of compiles. If you all put all this relevant code together on a piece of code, it works. The code mostly works with C++ 11, which was actually where I implemented it. And I only use C++ 14 features to make it fit on a slide. So it can be done in C++ 11. It used some C++ 14 features, which are interesting, and is essentially a functional approach. It turns out we can actually do easier. What would be much nicer to do is if we actually did something like that. We had a cons expression sort, where we sorted out all the values, and then we called std::sort. std::sort, hang on, sort doesn't sound like a very cons expression function, but in C++ 14, actually, it could be. With a small caveat, annoyingly, std::sort is unfortunately not a cleared const expression, like all the other algorithms. So how would we sort these guys? Well, before going into that, there's actually an interesting thing. This code as written does not work if we have zero elements, because it works out the wrong things and it cannot be called and all that. So we need a specialization for zero elements and return something. We don't even know what type it should be, because there's no type. But once we have that, that's basically the caveat is we need to have a sort. If we do have a sort, however, we could just run that, and that makes things nice. So, and here's a const expression function. This does require C++ 14. There's no way to do that in C++ 11. And it's basically, well, you could implement a recursive sort. It would be a lot more annoying than this code, but it could be done in principle. But this exec code would not work with C++ 11 at all. So how would we sort over here? Well, we take the distance, we do the pivot, and all that stuff. This is actually just a box standard kind of vanilla quick sort. This is not a production sort. Don't try that. It is slow on interesting inputs. We could do all the big stuff. It, again, would not fit on the slide. I have the exercise done. It would take about 20 slides to have a reasonable a quick sort, but it does work. So, and the partition, again, also works. Like, it's a const expression function, but we can have while loops in there and all just works nicely. And then even swap, right? Here's a version of swap. Here's how swap is implemented as a const expression function, and we just swap it. I think swap is one of the functions which will be const expression function in C++ 17. I don't think it is already in C++ 14. So it does all the dancing with no except, and it's a really simple function, and the declaration is actually a lot more characters than the actual implementation, which is something like annoying. Okay, so if you have that, in either way, independent on whether make swap is implemented using sort or the recursive decomposition of things, we can use our map now. We have basically create a map, and over here, I just use an example of a factory, basically mapping strings to factory functions so that we can basically, whatever, read some input, map that, and create the corresponding functions. That nicely works. And one thing, one caveat is, or why I want to show, and partly why this is the reason why I showed the C++ 11 and the C++ 14 version is, if you run that, unfortunately compilers do struggle. This is the time of seconds it takes to create an array, to create a map of the corresponding size, and you can see this blue line, this green line going nicely up and up and up. I couldn't be bothered to create bigger arrays because it would take quickly much longer. On the other hand, the if you look at it, creating an array, just an array with a simple search, this is just at the bottom. It's really fast to create these guys. This is what we would expect. And actually using the const expression sort is actually bringing the compile time down dramatically. And just to say, this is not the green line is not a GCC problem. Clang has the same issue that basically the compile times go up. I don't want to slack off Clang versus GCC over here. These versions are GCC and Clang versions are used in the beginning of the year. I'm sure things have changed. The numbers may have wiggled up and down. But the important part is the C++ 14 facilities to actually encode reasonably algorithms in the code rather than doing some recursive hack around. Relieve the compiler from quite a bit of work, and these are compile times. So if you basically have that map in multiple translation units, 40 seconds or even 12 seconds waiting for compilation is not a good idea. Okay, so having talked about a map, here's another what I consider interesting application of const expression functions, and that is compile time tests. The idea is you write your code as a if you have a const expression function. There's actually no reason not to write your test as a const expression function as well. And if you do that, you could do that yellow thing on the bottom and do a static assert on the test. and it would not compile if the test fails, which I think is really cute. So, and the other part of that is I actually tested it with that small example, at least there's actually zero code generated for the test. So you cannot go and, oh, well, but putting a test into my code changes my code in any shape or form, produces exactly the same assembly. And if you look at the code, I actually deliberately embedded an error over here. Basically, if you look at the check, this is basically implementing just a naive version of find. It first tests the value, whether we need to bail out, before it tests the boundary. Trying to test that without const expression is actually relatively hard. Over here, the compiler goes, oh, hang on, this is undefined behavior. You cannot access an element past the end of the array. It literally does say that. This is undefined behavior. Of course, the fix is we just swivel around these the things and the test doesn't change. But if you had written that test and run it through a runtime check, it actually would not pick up that error. So this is actually something really amazing for const expression functions. If you can make a function const expression, do it so. And actually do the tests as const expression functions as well, because the compiler picks up on all the undefined behavior inside a const expression function. Const expression functions are not allowed to have any undefined behavior. So this is actually a real semantic change, making testing easier. Okay, so just to round off before getting to questions, C++17 const expert make const experience nicer. In particular, lambda objects become const expression objects, so you can actually use something like a const expression auto lambda equals lambda expression, which you cannot do with C++14. And the function call operator is already, I think prior to C++17, a const expert implicitly or explicitly, but the object is not. A number of components, like pair at least, are declared const expert correct, and I think new things like optional and a variant are as well. String view is entirely const expert correct, and the annoying bit, even in C++17, is algorithms are not const expert correct yet. The plan is to get that into C++20 at least. Yes?
Yes, I was just curious. By the idea that lambdas can be const expert, does that mean that you can write a container like a map or something where you can declare your type as a lambda type right now? Or
okay, so the question is whether you can create a map where the type is a lambda expression, as if. Okay, and I was about to ask back which type, because in maps have at least three types, like the key value and the comparator. In C++17, you can write make the comparator const expression. Whether a lambda function is a good comparator in a map ever is a separate question. The problem with lambda objects is their type is always different. Just writing the same sequence of tokens doesn't give you the same type. So I think you can, by using decal type and capturing, using something like a const expert auto lambda, capturing the lambda, and then inside the map use decal type of the L variable to get the lambda, and then passing it in as a constructor parameter as well, would give you what you ask for. I don't think that is the easiest and most obvious way to write it at all. I would actually say for comparison function in a map or in a set, you probably want to create a class still. A lambda function is cute if you pass it on to an algorithm or something, but I don't think it works very well when you need to know that type and kind of spell out the type, because they always change. Okay, so yeah, I think I talked about all of those. My conclusion is const expression is actually a great thing. They made the language more powerful. They became even more powerful with C++14, and we are still working on making it better. But there are quite a number of places where const expert is not used yet correctly in the standard, and basically, which we need to identify and update. And hopefully we do that for C++ 20. If you're interested or want to make sure that that happens with C++ 20, I recommend monitoring what kind of papers are in that space and filing corresponding papers to cover areas which are not covered yet. Okay, which leads me to questions. Yes. Okay, so the question is, why are algorithms not cons expert? It is indeed a time issue in the sense of there was a paper in Ulu which came kind of too late, and everybody felt a little bit squeezy to say, oh, yes, we can actually make all the optimizations we do in things like sort and make it cons expert at the same time. Like a lot of sort implementations would actually fall back to using memcopies maybe or memmoves and making the, if that is necessary to, for the performance, there would be a problem, and nobody has done the analysis whether that is necessary or can be done away with. Yes?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I think that right now there are some functions in the standard library, but they are not there.
Yes.
Also, will the slides be posted today or will the slides be posted tomorrow?
Okay, so the first comment is there are a number of components in the standard library which are correctly cons expert, which is true, for example, like swap and pair and a number of things. Other things will come. And the other question is, will the slides be posted today or later? I can send them off immediately. When they're getting posted, I don't know. You can get a hold of an earlier version of these slides if you go to the ACCU conference. They should be uploaded there. I gave a version of that presentation there earlier this year. Okay, other questions? Yes?
For the two questions actually, the first on the performance graphs.
Yes. Okay, so the first question is basically on these performance graphs, what is the difference between the essentially the green and the yellow line, one using merge sort and the other one sort? The key difference is merge sort is using a recursive template hacky thing using indices, basically abusing the template system to compute, and the other one is essentially a cons expert function which encapsulates the logic like any of the algorithm. So it's basically, the purpose of these slides is to say, if you have C++ 14, if you have access to that, absolutely use the algorithms, do not try to do the template stuff. It just is slow. This is basically the intention of these things. It says you can do it with C++ 11, with C++ 14, it became actually a lot easier and faster. This is a nice point to be in. And you said you had a second question?
About what you had said. I've actually been asking several people about using const expert and having static tests all over specifically for them. One of the things we've been doing is trying to move a lot of stuff. If it can be const expert, make it that way. But in my conversation with other people, they've been saying, yeah, don't do that. And you're saying, yes, do it. And you're the first person that I've come across that's actually said, yes, that's a good thing to
Okay, so the second comment question was he had the same idea I had to say make things cons expert functions anyway. This is a good thing and makes a test cons expert as well. The case experience I have is actually very limited. I've only used it for a very few things to see that it does work. I've no huge installation where it does work. The caveat of doing it is the test code is instantiated in all executions, and that has some in all compilations, and that does have an impact. What I would imagine actually doing for real is having a test driver where I do have a kind of a runtime test thingy which actually uses a static assert, so I run the test just once. but I would still do the static assert test for the const expr functions, because the distinct advantage is it analyzes the function essentially whether there's whether there's any undefined behavior in triggered in the tests, which is a lot harder to detect using runtime tests. So yes, I do not have a huge test base, and I do not actually would not recommend putting it really in the header, having a static assert in all translation unit, because it probably, if you have that, a lot of these tests does add up to enough of a slowdown of compilation. But doing the static assert with the const expression test is, I think, absolutely the right thing to do. Okay, other questions, other comments? Okay, so the comment Vittorio had is basically the approach of doing things like in the select and not recursing, especially not doing the templated recursion, if you can avoid it, is a huge improvement of compile time rather than wasting it. You said it was a lot more words though. The answer is, the question is, does a compiler have to create a diagnostic if a const expression function invokes undefined behavior, or is the quality of implementation? And the answer is, if you act the parameters you pass in, the constant parameters you pass in, and you get a const expression out of that, so basically you need to have a static assert in there, if that invokes undefined behavior, it has to be reported. It has to be reported. It's not just a quality of implementation thing. The function shall not have, this is explicitly the words, if I recall correctly, the function instantiation for constant expressions shall not have undefined behavior. And the shall is a mandate to diagnose.
But it's undefined behavior. Right. So
is it?
I mean, right,
but
you're looking at behavior, so that has no requirements.
So. So the comment here is, well, hang on, but this is undefined behavior, so there's no requirement on that. Well, this is not entirely true. Well, it is true that it doesn't have any requirement what comes out of there, but the compiler knows that there's no requirement, right? He knows, all right, I tread into things where I would kind of do whatever I want. At the point where I travel into do whatever I want land, the compiler has to say, stop, we are not going over here. So constant expression, we absolutely want to know what is coming out. When I say we absolutely want to know what is coming out, that is actually slightly not true. And the place where it is not true is actually if you have floating operations in, or floating point operations in constant expressions, the runtime result of doing the same computations as you do at compile time can actually differ. So for example, if the compiler sees you come at 0.1 plus 0.1 plus 0.1, the runtime result may be unequal to 0.3, and the compile time result may be equal to 0.3. So there's a little bit of slack given over there, but undefined behavior has to be diagnosed. Yes? Okay, so the question is, let's assume I have a try-catch block in my const-expr function, and I call another const-expr function from within that try-catch block. What does happen? The answer is, the compiler will tell you, you have a const-expr function which has a try-catch block, you cannot have that. Okay. The permission to do things, as long as you do not trigger them, apply specifically to the expressions. It does not apply to any of the statements. The try-catch block is a statement, right? It's not like a throw. A throw is an expression. Throws are expressions. Try-catch blocks are statements. The statements are explicitly excluded. You cannot have a try-catch block in a constexpr function. Okay, any other questions? Yes. Okay, so the question over here is, can math functions be constexpr functions, like things like sine or cosine? In theory, I guess they can be. In practice, they're not yet declared constexpr functions. I think we had gone as far as much as discussing whether apps should be a constexpr function. There may be some individual ones which are, but sine and cosine and things like that are for sure not constexpr functions yet. They may become constexpr functions in the future, but this is actually one of the areas where I would say the algorithms like sort and find and all of that stuff, I would guess that they become constexpr functions. Whether the mass or even the special mass functions become constexpr functions, I don't know. I would actually stay away from that. And once we talked about that, I saw hands popping up. Okay, so. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the comments over here is the math functions, or some of the math functions can have side effects, and constexpr functions cannot have side effects. That doesn't make any sense. And in fact, you could argue that all of the math functions can have side effects, as in they actually touch the floating point environment and may have some rounding exceptions flag set, so they would all have side effects. I would guess if we make them constexpr that we explicitly say the constexpr function over here is not affected by the floating point environment and does not affect the floating point environment in either shape or form. And you probably, if there's kind of things which currently would result undefined, well, unknown behaviors, like division by zero is not strictly speaking undefined behavior in IEEE mass. It's actually defined behavior. You get NAN or something, or infinity out. So what is going to happen over there, I have no idea. I'm not sufficient of a mathematician to say, but yes, they're not yet constexpr. Yeah. Okay, so the comment there is, okay, libstud C++ made a lot of the mass function const expressions, so you can use them if you use libstud C++. I'm actually not sure whether it's strictly speaking legal to do so, and I think it is not. So you said it's not, so it's basically an extension leading hopefully towards something which may get into the standard. Okay. Okay, so the comment over there is if things become constexpr and they touch the floating point environment, they would be incompatible. We may need to change names or something. Yes, that's true. I don't know how that's going to go. Okay, I see lots of people leaving, and I think I've run out of time anyway. So thank you very much.